Thank you. Yeah, the days might be getting shorter, but you know what? We got no mosquitoes. It's almost the end of October. It's 51 degrees on my way in this morning. You know, from the time you're born till you ride in the hearse, things are never so bad they couldn't be worse. today's scripture reading from the New American Standard Bible, Deuteronomy 32:1-4. Give ear, O heavens, and let me speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, let my speech distill as the dew, as the droplets on the fresh grass, and as the showers on the herb. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Amen. And Luke 6:46-49 from the New Living Translation. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it is like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and the break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the rock, on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against the house, it will collapse into a heap of ruin. Luke 6:46-49. Thank you.
You may be seated. Let's pray. Guys, pray you speak to us about the importance of our faith, that you are a rock. You are the one we run to in the struggles of life, and not walk in unbelief. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, one of my scripture readings for October is going through the book of Numbers. And maybe I'm warped, but I love going through Numbers. Not the genealogy, but I love the story of Israel going through, leaving Egypt and going to the Promised Land and their struggles that they have. And I'm amazed in one way how quickly they doubt God. And they want to go back to the land of Egypt, back to slavery. And they forget the miracles God has done along the way. From the 10 plagues to God parting the Red Sea, bringing water where there was no water, and food from heaven, so to speak. And yet, so quickly they forget. They never seem to be able to believe who God is. And that quickly, again, they forget what he has done. And so they get to the Promised Land, and spies go in, and 10 of them come back and go, we can't go in there. There are giants. There's no way we're going to conquer them. Okay, God just parted the Red Sea. God just continues to provide for them the impossibility. So you got to realize, they're going through the wilderness. Ever had the picture of the desert, the wilderness in the Middle East? And he's providing for about 2 million people at least. Is that not an impossibility? He provided for their livestock too. And yet, they doubt. Well, they're giants. We can't go in. And it was because of their unbelief that God said, you're never going to enter the Promised Land. Okay. So, The reason I love reading Numbers is because I see myself in it. I see often those giants that in life, and I get scared. And I forget that God is really, God is sovereign. God has always been faithful. Life has never or has not been pleasant at times. But he's always been faithful. He's always been good. He's always provided when I'm like, I don't know how. And so, there's that point where doubt, before we go on, I just want to make this clear. There's doubt. Is God really sovereign? Okay, there's a doubt. But unbelief says, no, God is not sovereign. And we need to be careful not letting our doubt grow into unbelief. Because there's a clear warning I'm going to be talking about. But there is that battle of trusting God that we all deal with. There are seasons where it's a ton easier, and then there are seasons like, oh my. And for me, I've really struggled. I mean, I feel like there's been a clear battle in me. I've been sick for several weeks now where I just don't feel well. And it's, I honestly feel like I have ADHD. My mind, I bounce from one thing to another, but I also bounce with God. I can be praying and all of a sudden I'm over here and I'm over there and I forget, what am I doing? But also, when I don't feel well, I tend to be more susceptible in being discouraged. And I tend to focus on what God hasn't done than what he's done. And discouragement comes in the forms of things I've started to help people grow in the Lord or connect the body. And that they lose their momentum and people in being involved. And I get discouraged. And then there's a lie that creeps in for me. See, I failed once again. And then I'm reminded of the hopes in my own life that haven't come to fruition. And then causing me to question, will they ever will? I hope some of you can relate. And then there's the giant, the what-ifs of tomorrow. And it comes in waves. And honestly, there are giants I haven't worried about in a long time. And all of a sudden, in the past 2 or 3 weeks, it's like, And there's a battle. Here's the thing. Fears that focus on the future without God seem overwhelming. But fears with God become small. They're manageable. In this time we're wrestling of why God. Because we're going to all go through it. You may not be there. I really want to say, where are you going to run? Where are you going to land? Are you going to believe those doubts? Or are you going to let them eventually grow into unbelief? Or are you going to fight them? Are you going to go, no, I feel this way, but I choose to believe who God says he is in the scripture. When your life's falling apart, it's normal to feel like, God, are you sovereign? Why? But did God change? And do we see what God sees? Again, in those times, we need to go back that he is the rock. We need to believe who he declares he is. And in the scripture reading, in what Jay read in Deuteronomy 32, I love verse 3 and 4. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. How glorious is our God. He is the rock, perfect in his deeds. Everything he does is just and fair. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. How just and upright is he. Now, I got to admit, in the trials, it doesn't always feel that way. But if I run with my feelings, or if you do, be careful. For heaven and earth would pass away before anything God has promised or said he will do will come back void. And some of those answers, some of my prayers, I realize I will not see answered probably until I get to heaven. But do I trust that in all his ways they're imperfect? Or do I let doubt make God small? And when I begin to doubt, it can grow into unbelief. Faith is what makes us follow Jesus. I mean, why would you follow Jesus if you didn't trust him? It absolutely doesn't make any sense to me. So faith is our foundation of our commitment to Jesus and to God. And again, the scripture reading with what Jay read in Luke 6. I'm going to read it again. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you do not do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays a foundation on solid rock. When the flood waters rise and break against that house, it will stand firm because it's well built. But anyone who hears and does not obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. And when floods sweep down against a house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. Jesus cannot be our foundation if we don't trust him. And if we don't trust him, why in the world are we going to obey him? Again, that does not make sense to me. Jesus is our sure foundation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But also, do you notice what it says? If we walk in unbelief, our faith is destroyed. The house comes crashing down. So we can't underestimate the importance of our faith. In fact, Hebrews chapter 3, 12 through 19 really addresses this. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it's still today, so none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. Remember what it says. Today when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. And who was it who rebelled against God? Even though they heard his voice, wasn't it the people Moses led out of Egypt? And who made God angry for 40 years? Wasn't the people who sinned, whose corpses lay in the wilderness? And whom God was speaking when he took an oath they would never enter his rest? Wasn't it the people who disobeyed him? So you see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest. Okay, did you hear right in the beginning, verse 12? Be careful in an evil and unbelieving heart, for it turns us away from the Lord. And I want to say, this is the spiritual battle for us all, to put and keep our faith in Jesus. We're tempted every day not to believe. And if we don't believe, then we're not going to be obedient. The scriptures talk about a falling away in the faith. I'm going to elaborate on that. But first, I want to just give you an example. And I've used him before, but I think he is the best example. Charles Templeton. So Charles Templeton, if you're not familiar, was Billy Graham's partner early on in his ministry. Okay, Charles Templeton was leading more to the Lord, people to the Lord, than Billy Graham. And they expected Charles Templeton to be greater than Billy Graham. But doubt started in Charles Templeton's heart. And the doubt was, why did God allow suffering? And because of that doubt, over time, it grew into unbelief, and he abandoned the faith. He clearly said, I'm no longer a believer. But what's sad, at the end of his life, I think it was 2 or 3 years before, Lee Strobel interviewed him. And in one part, Charles Templeton says, I miss Jesus. But because of his unbelief, he couldn't repent. He couldn't return. Also in verse 14 of Hebrews 3, it talks about us being faithful to the end. And we have this perception. Salvation is a moment decision. I accept Jesus into my life, and therefore that's all it's done. No, faith is a journey, a lifelong journey to the end. And it is a battle. I hope as we grow, our faith becomes more and more secure in who Jesus is and who God is. Because that's what should be happening. But it doesn't mean it isn't tested until the end. I love what Paul said. I kept the faith right at the end of his life. I ran the course. I finished the race. But it isn't like, yeah, I got it. Faith isn't formed in a one-time event. It's in that lifelong journey of commitment to Jesus. And we got to remember that. Because we live in a culture, all you need to do is I accept Jesus and that's it. No, that's the beginning, people. And you look at the Israelites. They were all called. They were all called his people. But of the million people that left Egypt, only two entered the promised land. And that was Caleb and Joshua. All the others didn't believe. They had the belief to follow, but they didn't believe who God was. They all wanted to keep going back to Egypt. In 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 5, it addresses this. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about your ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food. All of them drank the same spiritual water, for they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them. That rock was Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Okay. Can I rephrase that for us today as Christians? We were baptized as infants, attended Sunday school, completed confirmation, depending on your denomination, made a profession of following Jesus, attended church on a regular basis, experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, and saw the faithfulness of God in their lives over and over. Yet God was not pleased with them. Okay, why wasn't God pleased with them? It's made clear in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Do you understand? The Israelites followed, but they did not believe. They did not put their faith in God. And here's the thing. Salvation, true salvation, cannot come without faith. And I'm just going to throw this in. Can we have faith in Jesus at one point in our lives and later on not believe and still be saved? I'm just throwing it out because this is a whole big debate among theologians and pastors. Walking in faith is our responsibility. Okay. But let me clarify. Without God's grace, it's an impossibility to walk in faith. But are we going to choose to accept the battle to believe him or let unbelief grow? Because I want to say, without the grace of God, I would fall away in an instant. And he's the one who saved me. But you look at the Israelites. They saw everything. They saw the miracle of God. The cloud. And the pillar. That was the Holy Spirit, people. The only difference now for us, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. He's not going to force us to believe. Without his grace, it's an impossibility. But there's a battle here. There's a battle with our faith. Who are we going to truly believe in? And I want to say, if you make God's grace small and elevate your personal responsibility to keep your faith, be careful. But I don't agree with the people who said God does it all. Because there's free will, and I tremble at my free will. Going back to grace, Ephesians 2:8-9 that most of us are familiar with, that we are truly saved by grace first, but also talks about faith. And Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and not that of yourself. It is a gift from God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. Again, first and foremost, we are saved and kept by God's grace. We cannot do this on our own. Here's the problem. The Israelites thought they could do it on their own. Hey, if I do X, Y, and Z, I get to go to the promised land. It didn't work for them. Because when struggles happen, they didn't believe who God is. And I love the Red Sea. We cannot forget the significance of the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea, and I'm sorry, it wasn't 20 feet. Because it talks about the depths. This is an incredible miracle. And we can debate on how deep it was and where it was, but you gotta remember, this was truly an impossibility. It's the same with our salvation. It is impossible to save ourselves. It's only by God's grace. It's a free gift. But what are we going to do with that gift? Again, Our confidence, first and foremost, needs to be in the love and grace of God as demonstrated by Jesus coming and dying for us, by which we are saved. But there needs to be a trembling or our responsibility to make sure our faith remains in Jesus and not let unbelief overcome our trust and love for Jesus. Therefore, we need to accept there has to be tension between our free will and God's grace. We need to accept there's a battle. And how well are we going to fight this battle? If I don't take this battle seriously, I know for me where it's going to lead. God's going to become smaller and smaller. Because doubt grows. And where doubt grows, there can be unbelief. Because when I've suffered enough, does God really care? Is God really sovereign? Does he really work this for my good and his glory? And like Charles Templeton, be careful. But here's the thing. Have your confidence in the grace of God. This is not a time to fear, but to be aware. I don't want you going, living in fear of losing your salvation, if you believe that. Some people believe you can. Fine. But be aware. Take the, like in Hebrews, be aware that you're in Christ. Examine yourself each day. Fight the doubt because it's going to come. And again, we need to choose to believe in who God is each day. At the end of the day, can you praise him for who he is? Or do you curse him? I've done both. But as I grow in my faith, I land that he is good no matter what. And he's working it for good. For his glory, simply because of who he is. We need to remember when we walk in unbelief, we let that doubt grow. It distorts who God is. And how often God becomes an angry God who doesn't care. Is that the God of the Scriptures? If that's the God of the Scriptures, then God needs help. Because why in the world would he send his only son to die for us? If he's unloving. So we could spend eternity with him. Okay, God needs counseling then. Or God is truly a loving God whose love is incomprehensible. Now I'd be the first to admit, in my struggles, it doesn't feel that way. Sometimes God does not feel loving. The days when I'm trying to keep my head above the water, I gotta admit, it doesn't feel loving. But God didn't change. And my feelings God? I mean, in terms of, do I let my feelings determine the truth? Or do I let what God says who he is determine it? This is the battle. And this is that battle of that firm foundation. Am I going to stand upon the rock of who God is? Or again, am I going to make God small? So, the deeper your faith is, the bigger the rock is. If I have a little rock, it's easy to slip off when God is small. Do you believe who he says he is? Do you believe that he's the unshakable rock? I really want to say, again, in this struggle, who do you run to? How often we run to ourselves? Or you turn on the news and people are running to many different things. How often they run to the government to save us, good luck. Or a person to save us, good luck. We are called to run to the rock who is Jesus. And I gotta admit, every day I have to make that choice to run to the rock and put my faith in Jesus. Because when I just simply I turn on the news, there's fear. People are crazy. People hate each other. And people are putting their faith in very broken, sinful people. And they're okay with corruption. Okay, there's no hope. But the last time I checked, God sits on the throne. And he isn't going like, I didn't see this coming. What am I doing? No. I don't understand his ways. But he knows the end from the beginning. And his plan is perfect. In the light of suffering, in the light of sin. He doesn't ever will sin. But when Adam and Eve sinned, he wasn't surprised like, oh, what do I do now? Hey, Jesus, you want to come and correct this? Because we didn't see this coming. No. His plan from the beginning was to show us how much he loved us through Jesus Christ. And there is no better plan than what he did through Jesus Christ. That is a perfect plan of showing us who God is. Now, do we believe it? And I love in the scripture how people proclaim their faith in the midst of trials, in the midst of being persecuted. I'm just going to read a few. The first two are written by David. Psalms 31, 1 through 5. In you, O Lord, I have placed my trust and refuge. I will never be ashamed. In your righteousness, rescue me. Incline your ear to me. Deliver me quickly. Okay, does that sound like, you know, everything's fine in his life? Be my rock of refuge and my strong fortress to save me. Yes, you are my rock and fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead me and guide me. You will draw me out of the net that they have secretly laid for me. For you are my strength and my stronghold. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, the God of truth and faithfulness. Do you see the struggle he's describing and yet proclaiming who God is? I'm sure at that time, at times, it's like, God, what are you doing? You got to remember, he's probably in the wilderness now, running from Saul, and it's been years, and he was anointed as king. Okay, that would be not, if God came and I was anointed as king, I would not put that in the plan. My vision would be like, boop, I'm king. No. He spends years running. How often that's true for our own life. Psalms 18, 1 and 2. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The God, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my savior. My God is my rock, in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, my place of safety. I don't think you write that without being in a struggle. Reminding yourself, God is my protection. God is my safety. When I don't feel safe. 2 Samuel 22, 2 through 3. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. He is my refuge, my savior, the one who saves me from violence. He knows how he repeats himself. Proclaiming who God is in the midst of struggle. So, how big is your rock that you stand on? How big is your God? Is your God based on a feeling or upon a firm conviction, whether you feel it or not? Is God an ever-changing God who doesn't care? Or is God a God who is sovereign, whose wisdom and ways are inscrutable without and without error? Does he love you with a never-ending love? Because I got to admit at times, it doesn't feel like God loves me. But that's not the truth. It doesn't end, and it is incomprehensible. Is he a God that's faithful, even when you're not? And is he a God whose grace leads you to salvation and keeps you? Do you really know that he's the one who saved you, not you? Yeah, you made a choice in there, but without his grace, good luck. And the idea that you can do follow Jesus on your own strength, good luck. Because that's what the Pharisees thought. And I know, we know how much Jesus cared. Jesus thought of the Pharisees. He loved them. But the idea that we can do, work out our salvation in fear and trembling without him, good luck. That's an impossibility. So at the end of the day, at the end of each day, can you proclaim that God is your rock? I think we need to do that every day. We need to remind ourselves of who he is and praise him, whether you feel like it or not. Because there's that danger that doubt, over time, if we're not dealing with it, grows into unbelief. And it is my prayer that at the end of the day, that we do truly proclaim him as Lord, as Savior, our only hope, the one who keeps us and is faithful too, but yet trembling and going, God, do not let unbelief grow in my heart. Amen.